Have you ever wondered why Jesus said to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Stay here and keep watch while I go over there and pray"? So he went over and he prayed for a little bit, and after he had prayed, he came back and he woke up his sleeping disciples and he rebuked a sleepy Simon Peter. And he said to him, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour?" Why did this mean so much to Jesus? Why was Jesus so offended that they were sleepy? You know, it's not like the disciples didn't care. Right before this, Simon had pledged that he would be willing to die with Jesus if he had to. And right after this, when Jesus is arrested in that garden, Simon steps forward with a sword and he cuts off someone's ear. So whether they're awake or asleep, the disciples are there for Jesus. But Jesus still was upset with them. So why do you think he asked Peter to keep watch, to stay awake, to be alert, to be on the lookout? Well, the disciples had a very different outlook than Jesus did. Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen, and he had told Peter, James, and John exactly what was going to happen. And after he told them what was going to happen, they said to each other, they kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant, because Jesus said he would suffer and die and rise from the dead. And when Jesus later predicted his death to the rest of the disciples, it says that the disciples were filled with grief. And when he predicted his death to the disciples once again, Peter rebukes Jesus and says, "Never, Lord, never will this happen." And Jesus again has to rebuke Peter. But Jesus wanted so badly for his disciples to understand. He wanted so badly for them to know that this was weighing on his heart, and so he expected to see it weighing on their hearts. Jesus, true God and also true man, suffered emotionally, suffered physically, knowing the physical suffering that he was about to go through. And so Jesus wanted to be strengthened and supported by his closest friends, but he didn't get it because his disciples didn't get it. They didn't understand what was going to happen next. To them, this was just another night in the Garden of Gethsemane. They had been here before. Jesus was praying again, and Jesus was known to pray all night long. So the disciples succumbed to their sleepy eyes, and Jesus is left to be disappointed by their carelessness, ignorance, and sleepiness. But today, Jesus is asking you and me too, will we keep watch with him? He left his disciples for a little while in that Garden of Eden, Garden of Gethsemane, and he has left us for a little while. Jesus wanted his disciples to keep watch, and he wants us to keep watch. So Jesus is saying, will you keep watch with me? Will you be at the ready and at your post? I want to dive into the text, but I want to take actually the second part first. Jesus says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone. Watch. What does this look like? To always be watching, always at the ready. Does it mean to be thinking about Jesus as much as possible, to be praying to Jesus as much as possible? Well, certainly. Does it mean you need to sacrifice as much sleep as possible to do that? Well, I'm not so convinced of that. But it is this watchfulness in the Bible that defies sleep. In Psalm 63, David writes, On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Psalm 19 says, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Again, I think it is the attitude more than the action that the Bible writers are looking for. It is the mindset much more so that they are looking for than actual sleeplessness. I think David put it really, really well in Psalm 19. He says, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. It's those attentive eyes David is talking about, bright eyes, searching eyes, watchful eyes. These are what God is after. Think of it this way. What do your eyes say? If all you know is sin, and if all you're set out is bringing as much wealth into your life as possible, if you're setting out for maintaining as much control as possible in your relationships, if you're trying to fill your life with as much entertainment as possible, or you're trying to make your life on earth as comfortable as possible to take your life off of life after life on this earth, well, then your eyes will look here and there, and they will look at this and that, but they will never rest on anything for very long, because there's no contentment behind those eyes. Day after day, those eyes will find less interest in everything they see. They will grow heavier and heavier until one day they close, never finding what they were looking for. But how different those eyes are for a Christian. For a Christian, our eyes are always on Jesus. And our eyes are always moving, looking from Jesus to everything around us. We are not slaves to our work, going to work, trying to find some sort of new interest or new satisfaction in our work. We look at Jesus, and then we look at our work. We look at Jesus blessing our work, maybe even making our work prosper and grow. We look at our paycheck, and then we look at Jesus to say thank you for the God-given gifts to produce a paycheck. We take a look at Jesus on the cross, and we pray for those eyes Jesus had looking down from the cross, eyes that saw everyone of every time as blood-bought souls. Souls who have a forgiveness won after a hard-fought fight with sin, death, and the devil. Our eyes look at the craziness of what's happening in our government, of what's happening in foreign relations, of what's happening in nuclear threats on our country, and we look to Jesus who treats the nations as nothing. our eyes focus on him treating the nations as nothing, the complications of the nations as nothing, all the political parties of the nations as nothing, as not even a bump in the road on his path to take as many as possible to heaven with him. Is this not why Jesus said, "The eyes are the lamp of the body"? Do not a Christian's eyes have a natural light to them? A curiosity and interest in everything I see because I have purpose. I have a hope to live and a message to give. And it gives me an eagerness to look from here and there in search of how to live and give. Do not a Christian's eyes have a contentment to them? No weariness, no heaviness, because we are perfect, forgiven, released from that terrible weight of our wrongdoings. Do not a Christian's eyes have a twinkle to them? Because they have a hope behind them? A noticeable hope behind these pupils and colored irises? A reason to look on each day with eager expectation because it's another day to see God's will played out in my life and to see him bringing me closer to him and heaven. Now, second only to Jesus, looking into your eyes each Sunday is the greatest joy I have because there's so much life there. There's so much grace, God's grace to marvel at. There's so many lessons you have learned for me to learn. You have seen so much, even especially the heartache and the disappointment and hardship, and yet every single Sunday, you and I come and I see there is still light and life behind those eyes. Now let's take a look at the beginning part of the text. Jesus says, be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with his assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Have you ever thought of your job in that way, your vocation in that way, as keeping watch? Is mom folding the clothes, keeping watch? Is dad mowing the lawn, staying alert? Is finishing your homework, being at the ready? Oh, you better believe it. Somebody once asked Martin Luther, if you knew Jesus was going to come tomorrow, what would you do? And without missing a second, Luther said, I suppose I'd plant an apple tree. He'd go on with life as normal. Because is it not possible to take this eager expectation and to fill it into our seemingly daily mundane tasks each day? Cannot mom making supper speak, Jesus is coming? Cannot filling out your taxes say, I am ready? You're doing what Jesus asks you to do. You're living your life and your faith and your hope. Everything you do shows purpose. The joy you have shows the hope that you are living in each day. And it is this joy and hope you speak whenever you get the chance that shows Jesus these eyes are ready. They're waiting. They're watching. They're ready for you, Jesus. My childhood pastor was known as a fiery and engaging preacher. He had this reputation throughout the whole La Crosse area. And during his time at my home congregation, the congregation was always growing by God's grace. And on any given Sunday, in the first service, we didn't have seats enough for everyone. You'd have to start setting up chairs going into the narthex. And in the second service, it was still full. At the end of the year, we'd regularly have a $40,000, $50,000, even $60,000 surplus, most of which would go toward world missions for our church body. And to God be the glory in all of that. But he retired my eighth grade year, after my eighth grade year. And we were all kind of expecting, you know, waiting to see what's going to happen next. Is he going to write a book? Is he going to start a ministry? Is he going to travel and preach, at least in the area? And though he lived a block and a half down from the church during his retirement, he didn't do any of those things. He spent a lot of time reading. He spent a lot of time with his grandkids. But what most people saw as a ball of fire from their perspective suddenly stopped. Well, maybe this explains why. I came back once during college and I was talking to him. I was on break and I was heartbroken. My grandma had just been diagnosed with cancer and I was extremely close to her. So he listened and he sympathized very much and he said a prayer with me. And then he looked out the window and he said, "Lloyd, when you get to this point in your life, I know your grandma thinks this too. You're just waiting. You know, your life is mostly spent. Most of your energy is gone. And you're just watching and waiting." Even in the short time that I've been here so far, I've had the privilege of talking to many of the more chronologically blessed. And you've talked to me about this, how this is on your mind. This affects your outlook. And it brings a mix of emotions. It brings hope and fear. It brings faith and anxiety. And all these things are tangled together like spaghetti noodles, so you don't know where one ends and the other begins, but they're all there. This is a good thing. We need your eyes. We need your perspective on life. I was talking to a 92-year-old man when I was doing my early field training work while I was at the seminary. He was a homebound member. And he said, "Well, I don't really do much anymore." He was legally blind and he didn't walk very well. And he said, "And truthfully, I'm not even quite sure why I'm still here." And boy, as a second-year student at the seminary, I didn't really have an answer for him. You know, I was mainly just trying to not screw up and not do something stupid. But after preparing for this sermon, I'd like to say something like, "Leon, at least you're talking about it. As far as I'm concerned, you got your perspective on life nailed. You're looking for when. When is Jesus coming? And since he hasn't come, why? Why am I still here?" Well, there's no simple one-size-fits-all cookie-cutter answer for that. But if you're at least looking, if you're at least asking, if you're at least taking Jesus seriously when he says to his disciples and he says to you and me, "Will you keep watch with me?" If you can demonstrate that you understand, if you can demonstrate that you know what comes next, whether judgment day or death, if you have eyes that want to watch, this waiting and watching, well, that's life. All of it. is like the disciples in that Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, he's just a stone's throw away. He's been praying for you. He hopes that you've been keeping watch so that you're awake to watch what happens next. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that goes beyond all our knowledge and understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.